A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Welcome to another edition of Bearing Arms, Cam and Company. My name is Cam Edwards. It is good to have you with us on the program. Hopefully you are getting ready for a fantastic Memorial Day weekend. Just a program reminder, we will not have a new show for you on Monday and Tuesday of next week. We will be back with you on Wednesday of next week with more Bearing Arms, Cam and Company. But we will be updating BearingArms.com throughout the holiday weekend with all of the latest Second Amendment news and information. And one of the things that we're going to be talking about actually next week on the program is, well, it's the topic du jour today as well. Our friend Rick Echter, who is the owner of Rick's Firearm Academy of Detroit, a concealed carry instructor, a great Second Amendment advocate in the Detroit area. Rick has done so much for gun owners. One of the coolest things that Rick does each and every year on Mother's Day, and unfortunately this year it was delayed because of the coronavirus closures, but each and every year at around Mother's Day, he hosts a free firearms training session for women, and hundreds of women show up. In 2019, there were, I believe, almost 700 women who came out and over the course of a day got basic firearms instruction, not only from Rick, but from this volunteer army of firearms instructors. Well, now Rick has another event that he is putting together. It's going to be next Thursday at the State Capitol Building in Lansing, Michigan. And while the event itself is not exclusively focused on the Second Amendment, there is definitely going to be a strong pro-2A flavor to it. We had a chance to speak with Rick about the rally next week. Take a look and a listen. Rick Echter, thank you so much, sir, for coming to the program. It's great talking with you again today.
Hey, man, it's always an honor and a privilege, man. It's been too long since we talked last, man, but better now than never.
It really has been. I know. I'm really sorry we didn't get a chance to catch up at the NRA annual meeting this year, but hopefully things will start to get back to normal. We'll see each other in 2021. I'm also kind of bummed that I'm not going to be able to make it up to Lansing, Michigan next week because you are organizing a rally for next Thursday, 9 a.m., Blacks and Latinos Against Racist Empowerment. Tell us about this, Rick.
Yeah, man. Just a couple of stories, man, that have, you know, I think haven't really gotten a lot of publicity, you know, and I think that it needs to be part of the national conversation. You know, a couple of high-profile cases, you know, Breonna Taylor out of Kentucky and Ahmaud Arbery out of Georgia, man. And, you know, two very unfortunate incidents. And I always, you know, try to stay in tune with what's happening, you know, locally, across the state and nationally. And it's caused a lot of people in my network, man, some angst and some concern. You know, when you dig into the specific, you know, details of each story, man, you know, it's just a little troubling. And, you know, as a black person, a person of color, you know, I'm always, you know, conscious that, you know, given the right set of circumstances, you know, that could be me. And I just wanted to put together an event here in Michigan at the state capitol and to highlight, you know, those concerns, man. And I reached out to my personal network amongst people that I'm familiar and hopefully I was able to get them to lend their name and their effort and their participation in this rally coming up this upcoming Thursday at the state capitol. And, I've received a lot of support, and man, some enthusiastic participants are going to be joining me, man. And I look forward to having a good opportunity to network with friends and to highlight, you know, some concerns that we have.
Absolutely, and you have, you know, you got some friends of the show that are going to be there. Starting with Maj Touray, Black Guns Matter. He's going to be speaking. Marcus Weldon, who has been a guest on Cam and Company multiple times over the years, a gentleman who was forced to defend himself and was actually faced charges, right? Was facing, years in prison before it was determined that he was acting in self-defense. What has been the response when you reached out to some of these folks in your network and said, hey, listen, I'm putting this rally together. Do you want to be a part of it?
You know, I've received nothing but enthusiastic support, man. You know, it's almost as if, the response was, hey, I was waiting for someone to really highlight, these two cases, man. And I've received nothing but enthusiastic support. And, a couple of participants I asked to be a part of the project, they said, well, Rick, let me tell you how I feel about it. And I feel this way, and I feel really concerned, and I think someone should do something. And then right after that, they'll say, well, what is it that you want me to say at the rally? I say, well, just communicate what you just said to me. You have a concern, and these are the particulars of the incident. And if you feel, a certain way about it, if there's something that you would like to see changed in our country and in our respective areas of the country, is there something that you would like to advocate? If there's something that you would like to change, what mindset would you like to see take form and take shape? This is your opportunity to step up to the microphone and be heard. And, they really appreciated that. And I'm not giving anyone a script. I'm just saying what the event is about, and this is your opportunity to lend your voice and to say what's on your mind and what's on your heart.
You talk about not giving anybody a script, so I'm not going to ask what other folks are going to say. But from your perspective, Rick, is part of your message going to touch on gun ownership, among minorities, and the need for self-defense, for people of color?
Man, you must be psychic, if anyone is remotely familiar with me, they're familiar with my story. I was robbed at gunpoint in my driveway about 14 years ago. And in the aftermath of that unfortunate incident, I had a couple of options. And the option that I chose was to take on a more active role in my personal protection. And as I followed this path, man, I met a lot of interesting people. It's almost like a story, that follows the script that they call the hero's journey. And something happens and you change as a result of that experience, and you follow this path of self-enlightenment and growth. And you meet people like Cam Edwards, and you meet people like the black man with the gun, Ken Blanchard. And as you go through this journey, man, and you also experience growth, and you learn about, personal protection, and you learn about its role in the life of history, man. And one of the stories that I believe that I'm going to talk about is a very historic case that happened here in the city of Detroit in 1925, the case of Dr. Ossian Sweet, who was a black physician who in 1925 wanted nothing more than a better life for his family, commensurate with his status as a doctor in a underserved community. Well, he moved to a mixed community. The neighbors didn't like it. They conducted a riot at his property. And he defended that property with a firearm, and then the police, who were overseeing this crowd of hundreds of people, finally stormed the premises. Well, in the aftermath of this incident, Dr. Sweet was put on trial in Frank Murphy's courtroom, and he was exonerated at the end of the day of all charges. And I bring this story up for one simple fact. It's to drive home the point that gun laws and restrictions are based in racism, man. And what happened in 1927 as a result of his acquittal was the Michigan Firearms Act, which was a hodgepodge, a recipe, if you will, of every popular anti-gun law that you could conceive was put on the books in the state of Michigan in 1927. And it drives home to my central point that I've been talking about for years, is that gun laws are rooted in racism, and that guns You know, it's something that has been integral to the black community. And if there are, you know, unfortunately, people who have issues with people of color, particularly in the Aubrey case, man, you know, the great thing about a gun, man, is that it allows you to defend yourself. And as a firearms instructor and as a gun rights advocate, you know, I strongly believe that, especially considering my personal backstory.
Absolutely. And you know, and I had, as you were describing the Ossian Sweet story, I think I read about this in Nicholas Johnson's Negroes and the Gun, The Black Tradition of Arms in America. But again, yeah, there are, you know, it's fantastic. But there are, that's the thing, there are so many of these stories. I know that, you know, the media and maybe even the conventional wisdom among the American people is that, well, you know, the typical gun owner in this country looks a lot like me, frankly, you know, kind of a chubby white guy with a big beard and lives in the country. And that's who gun owners are. But the fact of the matter is there is no one gun owner in this country. It's the right of the people to keep and bear arms. It's not a right of the right. It's not a right of the whites. It is a right of the people. And, you know, I got to tell you, Rick, I was actually kind of pleased. I wrote a story earlier today about the mayoral race in Baltimore, Maryland, which is coming up here. The Democrat primary is coming up in a couple weeks. And basically, the Democrat primary is the de facto general election. I think there's, you know, the last time a Republican was elected mayor of Baltimore was the 1950s. So whoever wins this Democratic primary is probably going to be the next mayor. And all of them are talking about crime in Baltimore. According to a new poll, the homicide rate in Baltimore is the number one concern for about 60% of the voters that were surveyed. I think the next most important issue came in at like 10%. So all of these candidates are focusing on violent crime, but not one of them is actually promoting any new gun control laws on their campaign website. Now, I don't think that they're all Second Amendment stalwarts. I'm sure that they would back every gun control law that lawmakers in Annapolis could pass. But when they're talking about making neighborhoods safer, when they're talking about reducing violent crime in Baltimore, they're not calling for more gun laws. In fact, they're saying we want to end mass incarceration. We want to end, ticky-tack arrests. We cannot arrest our way out of this problem, which frankly is a very un-Bloombergian point of view. Michael Bloomberg and the gun control advocates believe that that's absolutely how you do this. You pass, you know, a bunch of gun control laws. Michael Bloomberg said you take young men of color and you throw them up against the wall and you pat them down for guns. And that's right. how you You do arrest your way to safety. You do ban your way to safety. And I'm really encouraged that even on the left, well, again, in many cases, we haven't necessarily seen an embrace of the right to keep and bear arms. I think we are starting to see some deep divides about the efficacy of these gun control policies and the impact that these policies have, the disproportionate impact that these policies have on people of color.
Well, man, look, I'm a huge advocate of the right to keep and bear arms. You know, true enough, the focus of this event that I'm promoting on next Thursday is not a, you know, per se a gun event in which I'm, you know, putting that front and center. You know, my concern is strictly on some of the potential issues that can happen, man, and that, you know, I realize every day I look in the mirror, you know, regardless of what show I've been on, regardless of what I do in the community, you know, just given the right circumstances in the right part of the country at the right moment with the wrong person, you know, that could be me. And I'm very, you know, sensitive to that argument. When you look at gun control that's been implemented and has been adopted in various places across the country, invariably you'll come to the conclusion when you just look at it, gun control typically is the most severe and most numerous in places in which people of color reside. And if you ask me, you know, I'll just tell you, you know, flat out, you know, that guns save lives, man, and that the more guns that there are in a community, you know, especially if they're wielded and owned and possessed and operated by people of good character, it makes your community safer. And I hope that this is a true period of enlightenment in which people who are running for political offices, especially in cities where which are dominated by people of color, hopefully they feel the same way. But when you look at places like New York, especially New York City or the state of New Jersey, like Newark, or you look at all the various different communities in California where there are great concentrations of people of color, man, there is a lot of work that needs to be done there. And putting more gun laws and gun strategies and anti-gun policies in place is not going to make our situation better. Am I saying that guns and gun ownership is the panacea and the cure for everything that ails our country or ails the black community? Definitely not. We have our own share of issues that need to be addressed. But in the time between now and we've all collectively put our heads together to figure out what the solutions are, this is hands down, you know, from my personal experience, I believe what we can do to make ourselves and our community safer until we get effective leadership who can get some policies and programs put in place to make our lives better and safer.
Talking again with a friend, Rick Ector. Again, this is Blacks and Latinos Against Racist Empowerment. Next Thursday, 9 a.m. At the Michigan State Capitol. And Rick, I mean, who do you hope to see out there? Do you, is this a rally that is open to everybody? Is this a rally where you're...
It's a rally that's open to everyone, man. But, you know, one of the complaints or knocks against a rally that's dealing with, you know, rights and civil rights and, you know, typically, you know, you'll see these events not attended by people of color. For example, at a gun rights rally, you know, you'll see, you know, a lot of other, you know, a lot of white people there, just to be blunt. And you see, you know, maybe a handful of black people there. Okay, well, why aren't they there? I mean, certainly, you know, they have the same concerns as everyone else. Well, I believe that it's possibly due to the fact that there has not been an overt invitation that says, hey, you, Mr. or Miss, you know, minority, black, Hispanic, or whatever, you are invited. You are welcome. I want to cater a program that lets you know that it's okay for you to be here, that you're desired, you're wanted, we want you to participate. But no, Rick's not starting a separatist movement of this black and Hispanic, and we want to form our own country and separate ourselves from others. No, I'm speaking to the issues that are germane and are relevant to black people and brown people who have concerns when we see these national cases, you know, these cases of hate. I'm not saying that the country is racist, man, but there are, you know, some racist people in it who engage in, unfortunately, some very negative, you know, behavior, man. And as a gun rights advocate, I always stress personal protection. Usually I'm saying it in the context of carjackers and home invaders, but, I mean, there could be also cases in which you might have to deal with someone who just doesn't like you for your color of your skin, or they treat you a certain way because you're from a different community. But yeah, I'm not being a separatist. I'm just extending the olive branch. I'm giving an open, explicit invitation to people who have not traditionally come together at the Capitol, man. And yeah, I'm explicitly looking for black and brown people. But I'm not excluding a single person. If you believe in what I'm talking about, if you believe and follow the principles that I'm espousing, you know, all are welcome.
That is fantastic, man. Hey, will you do me a favor? Will you come back next Friday? I know that you'll be busy next Thursday, but will you come back next Friday and talk about how the rally went, maybe share some pictures, videos?
Oh, man, it would be my pleasure. I look forward to it.
Well, I look forward to it as well. Like I said, if I could travel, I would do everything in my power to get up there to Lansing, Michigan. But
man,
I hope that
you know how many years I've been trying. And I'm not going to quit, man. If there's anything I have, it's a one track mind, and usually I get what I want. If I have to go and drag you screaming and hollering the whole way, man, I'm going to bring you to Michigan, and I'm going to bring you to Detroit.
Listen, you don't have to drag me. I will willingly and voluntarily go. I'm going to drive because I don't want to get on an airplane at the moment. But let's talk. And let's figure out maybe there's some time this summer where I could get up there, because I've been trying to get out to your Mother's Day event every year where you train hundreds of women. I'd love to cover that in person. I'd love to sit down with you in person. So let's try to make that happen at some point over the next few months.
Yeah, man. You know, it's always great when we get together at the annual meeting and at the various events across the country, man. And it's always good to see you, man. I consider you a close friend. I really dig your show, man. I'm glad that you're able to keep it going,
in this form, in this iteration.
And like I said, man, whatever I have to do to get you to Detroit and to the state of Michigan, I'm going to do it, because I'm not going to quit, man. I usually get what I want. It's just a question of when I get it.
All right. We will make this happen. And I will talk to you next week, Rick Ector. Again, I hope you have a fantastic turnout. The weather's cooperative for you. And we will talk to you next Friday.
All right, man. Look forward to it.
All right. Thanks so much. Hey, Rick, actually, before we let you go, if folks want more information about this rally, where can they find it?
Best information I'd say is go over to my group page, my Rick's Firearm Academy Detroit page over on Facebook. Usually it's not hard to find me there. I'm at facebook.com/ Rick Ector or Michigan CCW, and they can't miss me. Or just Google Rick Ector and connect with me and get to my fan page. You know, that term has such gravitas when you say it. But fan page, business page, and let's connect. And I put frequent updates, especially with speaker profiles, so everyone will have a pretty good idea of some of the other speakers who will be presenting. And hopefully everyone will see that I put together a solid slate of awesome speakers who are going to educate and edify all the attendees who are going to be present.
That's fantastic. Rick Ector from Rick's Firearm Academy, Detroit, Detroit CCW. Thank you, as always, my friend. We will talk again next week. So we will catch up with Rick Ector next week. Hopefully, if you are in the Michigan area, you can make plans to attend that rally. Right now, though, let's get to today's armed citizen story, our good deed of the day, and our recidivist report as well. We're going to start there. St. Louis, Missouri, they have had their share of homicides. And unfortunately, you know, unlike Baltimore, you still have officials that are out there calling for more gun control laws that are needed on the books as opposed to focused deterrence. Well, in this latest shooting in St. Louis, it was somebody who was well known to law enforcement, arrested and charged in this murder. Documents accused Damian Thomas, who's 25 years of age, of shooting a man that he found sleeping in the bed of a woman with whom he had had a child. No matter how ticked off you might be, murder is not an option. Police were called to this apartment. They found 27-year-old Tyree Matthews dead with two gunshot wounds around 7 a.m. Tuesday morning. According to the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, court documents say Thomas arrived at the woman's home early Tuesday, became enraged when he discovered Matthews sleeping there. He is accused of entering the bedroom and shooting Matthews, striking him once, and then a second time as Matthews was pleading to leave. Prosecutors issued at-large warrants charging Thomas with first-degree murder. He was arrested the next day, currently being held without bond. According to the Post-Dispatch, court records show that the 25-year-old has felony convictions for weapons offenses, as well as assaulting an inmate at the Missouri Eastern Correctional Center. He was also wanted at the time by other police agencies for assault, and he was on probation at the time of this murder. So how much time has Mr. Thomas actually done for any of those past crimes, given his tender age of 25? Probably not long enough. And we will keep our eyes on this particular story. Today's armed citizen story out of North Carolina. Not a lot of information about this, but CBS 17 reporting on a shooting in Conneauto, North Carolina, that police now say was an act of self-defense at a convenience store. The Edgecombe County Sheriff's Office says a man and a woman got into a fight inside this convenience store, Bob's Fuel. The man left the store and he was shot. CBS 17 says the man identified as Raekwon Hines was taken to a hospital in Tarboro, North Carolina, where he passed away. One woman was taken into custody at the scene. But according to CBS 17, based on surveillance videos and witness interviews, Deputies established that Hines' killer acted in self-defense. Deputies consulted with the DA's office on this case. The shooter will not face any charges. So we, again, not a lot of details on what exactly happened that led to Raekwon Hines being shot. Clearly, it wasn't just he walked out of the store and then was shot. If authorities believe that he was acting in self-defense, we'll see if we can get more information on this and maybe bring you some further details on the next edition of Bearing Arms Cam and Company. Finally, today, our good deed of the day out in California. A California Highway Patrol officer in the right place at the right time, willing and able to rescue a stuffed animal that a little girl had lost and was very, very sad to have lost. Toffee. I actually have a goat named Toffee. We've never lost her, thankfully. But yes, out in California, the owners of Toffee contacted police. They were desperate to see if anybody might have, you know, turned in the stuffed pooch there that had been lost on the side of the road. ABC 10 says the stuffed animal was in a car with his family when he was accidentally thrown out of an open window. I'm guessing that the accidental tossing of Toffee was probably a child who had no idea that you can hold a, you know, object out of a window of a moving car and it'll be ripped from your hands. Anyway, Toffee left stranded on Interstate 80 near the Antelope Scales. They contacted the Toffee's family to the North Sacramento Area Office of the California Highway Patrol through Facebook and said, I don't know how regularly this area is swept or if anyone would see a small light brown dog, but if he is seen, I'm sure that she would greatly appreciate him. She was not particularly appreciative of my, oh, that's so sad, he might get squished, maybe let's not do that with our friends comment. Which is a pretty, I gotta tell you, that's a pretty good way of handling things when your kid tosses a stuffed animal out the window. I'm glad that they didn't slam on the brakes, cause an accident as they tried to turn around on the interstate to go back for Toffee. Well, less than 12 hours later, Officer McTaggart with the California Highway Patrol was in the area. He just happened to be looking for Toffee, and he found the stuffed animal, missing the leg, mind you. I mean, you know, there are going to be some injuries when you get tossed out of a window at 60 miles an hour. McTaggart picked the animal up, the stuffed animal up, took him to the North Sacramento Area Office where some service animals allegedly helped in the recovery before the stuffed dog was reunited with his family. So in the right place, at the right time, willing and able to pick up a dirty stuffed animal on the side of the road in order to return it to one very happy little girl. Officer McTaggart, we thank you, sir, for your good deed. That is going to do it for this edition of Bearing Arms Cam and Company. Want to thank you, as always, for being a part of the program, for being a supporter of the website and this show. Don't forget, you can subscribe to Town Hall Media at YouTube or Bearing Arms Cam and Company on Apple Podcasts or any of the other fine podcast platforms. That way you never miss one of these programs. You can also become a VIP member of Bearing Arms or a VIP gold member of Town Hall Media. That way you'll get exclusive commentary, analysis, big think pieces, live chat access, and more. And again, we really do appreciate all of your support that allows us to continue to do the Second Amendment journalism that we do here each and every day. Do enjoy your weekend. We will be back, I promise you, Wednesday at the very latest. If there's some amazing bit of Second Amendment news, you might even get a show on Tuesday, but I am hoping to be able to tackle the honey-do list around the house over the next few days and get out to a national cemetery on Memorial Day to pay my respects to those who have made the ultimate sacrifice in defense of our freedoms. Have a great weekend. Be safe, be well, be free, and we'll see you soon with another edition of Bearing Arms, Cam and Company.